Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom liYehudim, shalom lebnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet radio program named for the book of the same name that vivisects the body of lies that is this generation's mutation of age-old Jew hatred, the current fairy tale of the wicked Jews stealing Palestine from the allegedly ancient Palestinian Bible. Palestine, a land so unknown to Arabs and Muslims they cannot even pronounce the name properly. They call its central range of hills the West Bank, which is proof there never was an indigenous Palestinian people here. Indigenous peoples give names to their mountains, their rivers, their lakes. West Bank is a topographical description, a no-name name. In today's edition, we will take up the case of the penetration of the U.S. Congress by two enemies of the American way of life, of truth, justice, and the American way, an expression known to lovers of Superman, a cartoon character invented by two patriotic Jewish cartoonists. And in our time, we might add to truth, justice, and the American way, friendship toward Jews in America and the wonderful spark plug of a state called Israel. For sure, one of the two Muslims hostile to America because it is friendly to Israel was in the news for her filthy mouth on the day she entered Congress, her insult to the President of the United States of America, obviously ignorant of the American tradition of respecting the President even if he is not the candidate you voted for. In fairness to this foul-mouthed female, the president has used in public the very same word that she used. I heard him myself in an audio clip several years ago, before he became president, addressing the National Organization of Republican Women, and I was disgusted when he did that. So in fairness to her, she gets a pass for this, because her party, the Democrats, have taught her to behave this way. But unfortunately, what really got yours truly ticked off was advertising her traditional Palestinian dress, the one she wore that day, which is just another anti-Semitic lie. There's no such thing as a traditional Palestinian anything, for tradition implies history, and there's no record in history of any such people. But above all, in wearing that garment, she advertised herself as not a representative of the voters in her district, but a representative of the phantom Palestinians. And one hopes she is chastised by the House for this functional admission that she is not a loyal American, but a Palestinian, who, like all of them, hates America for supporting the Jews. And we'll get started after the following message from Israel News Talk Radio.
G'day, I'm Jono Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet radio program named for the book of the same name that exposes the lexicon of lies that is this generation's version of anti-Semitism. This fairy tale of the villainous Jews who stole Palestine from the allegedly prehistoric Palestinians. And never mind that history left no trace of such a people ever living here. The Arabs, in their vast history of illiteracy, produced only two books known to mankind, the Quran and 1001 Nights, the first a shamelessly plagiarized version of Judaism, the second the tale of a woman named Scheherazade, who tells a story every night in order to stave off being murdered by the pre-Iranian Persian king who raped her, a king whose practice was daily marrying a woman, deflowering her at night, and then killing her the next day before marrying the next version, and so on and so forth. Remember, even today, Muslims are infamous for mutilating women, pawing at them in the street, abusing them, Only Scheherazade was special. She began telling the king such an amazing and entertaining story. He never wanted her to stop so that he could kill her. She left him, actually, with a cliffhanger of a story and said she would only tell him the answer the next night. And so she survived until then when she told him the ending and then began another story with a cliffhanger ending and so on and so forth for a thousand nights, inventing stories to stay alive, which in our time include the story that there was no Holocaust and the story that the Jews stole Palestine from the ancient Palestinians. Read my book and see how it was done. It's the second day, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Parashas Bo, Tavshinayin Tes, 5779. The first day, Monday, 7 January 2019, podcasting from Israel, the target of shameless, righteous hatred, with the silver lining that we are hated by the worst people in the world. At the risk of being misunderstood, I think the Holocaust was the greatest compliment ever paid to the Jewish people by the devil, by evil. What an honor to be hated by the devil incarnate, by Adolf Hitler, by Yasser Arafat, that mass-murdering, Nazi-loving psychopath and predatory pedophile. In my book, I expose how in the first years of Arafat's Fatah, his boys walked around with pictures of Adolf Hitler in their pockets. The young Arafat was proud to be some distant relation to the head of the Arabs in Mandatory Palestine, the Grand Mufti, who spent World War II in Berlin in a townhouse stolen from a Jew. And he was paid $10,000 every month by Hitler to broadcast Nazi propaganda in Arabic to the Middle East during the war. Adolf Hitler was evil incarnate, and the laws of moral physics suggest that we Jews were his mortal enemy, because we were the opposite of everything he stood for. He saw in us the embodiment of human goodness. Hitler was the polar opposite of a Jew. Now, today, Nazism is a thing of the past, but hatred of Jews is much older and is constantly shape-shifting. For example, for Christianity, until the Holocaust, Jews were murdered in large numbers because they were Christ killers. Not until 1965 did the Vatican refurbish its doctrine about Jews. Until then, we were all guilty at birth of being murderers. And not just any kind of murderer, but murderer of the Messiah, our own Messiah, who also happened to be the Creator himself. Think of the power of these Jews who were able to kill the Creator himself. Wow. Only Satan would have the power to kill God, so for thousands of years, Jews were hated for being agents of Satan. Then, when Europe's chattering classes lost faith in Christianity, which led to giving Jews full citizenship in their European countries, so Jew hatred had to molt and appear in another way. And that way was called anti-Semitism, a term as much of a crackpot idea when invented in the 1870s as words in our time like Islamophobia or homophobia, all profoundly dishonest words. Anti-Semitism makes no sense because there's no such thing as Semitism to be anti-against. What happened is that when Europeans lost faith in Christianity, inadvertently, one of the unintended consequences, they also destroyed the deicide charge. Stop believing in the divinity of Jesus of Nazareth and you stop hating Jews for this monstrously evil crime. But people still hated Jews and had to come up with another way of justifying the hatred. This was in the heyday of Charles Darwin and the burgeoning academic subject of anthropology. So they rebranded the Jews as no longer a nation scattered around the world, but a race. It was the age of race theory. The Jews were redefined as a race native to Asia, Semites, and therefore people were as uncomfortable in their presence as they would be in the presence of African Negroes. In addition, because the Jews were persecuted for so long, they became a corrupt people. The stupid Catholic Church judged interest-taking, banking, money, usury, and forced the Jews to be the bankers, and then they became hated for their dirty business, and even accused them of loving money and wanting to monopolize all the money in the world, enslave all mankind as their serfs. This is Marxism in a nutshell. There are arguments in the 19th century over the possibility of changing the Jews for the better Or was this an ineradicable biological fact about them, this Asiatic race, and therefore they were impossible to assimilate into European culture? Thus did the chattering classes of Europe for much of the 19th century argue over what to do with the now emancipated Jews. How should they be allowed to integrate in society? This was different from the legal granting of citizenship. This was anti-Semitism at the start. Only much later, decades later, in its terminal period, did anti-Semitism turn genocidal. Thus did anti-Semitism meet its end after World War II in Auschwitz, after which it became distasteful to be anti-Semitic in polite society. In 1945, at war's end, everybody went to the movies in those days, there was no TV, and they would watch the feature, but beforehand the newsreel. And the newsreel projected onto the screen black and white images that were nauseating. Pictures of mounds of emaciated Jewish corpses being bulldozed into pits and covered with lime. Newsreels of the walking skeletons the Allies discovered when they drove into the death camps. After that, Jew jokes went out of fashion in polite society, if only because now they brought to mind those horrible, disgusting scenes in the movie theaters. Today, though, the perennial hatred of Jews is back in fashion because it has molted and morphed into a new and updated format, a new way to hate Jews for their evil deeds. In the world today, the Palestinian narrative has replaced anti-Semitism, and it's a well-known narrative. It's at the center of much of the chatter at the UN. After the Holocaust, say the Arabs, and in the UN. The Europeans, feeling guilty, told the Jews to compensate themselves by stealing Palestine from the ancient Palestinians. The Jews were told, why don't you just barge in into Palestine and drive the Palestinians out, move into their homes, harvest their orchards, basically steal Palestine from the Palestinians. And never mind that between 1945, when the UN took the place of the League of Nations, and 1970, a quarter century later, 3 years after the Six-Day War, in that period there had not been one discussion in the UN about any Palestinians, let alone a need for a state for them. Not one resolution mentioned any Palestinian people. In the 1950s and 60s at the UN, they focused on the Arab-Israeli conflict, which everyone saw as the Arab drive, the Arab state's drive, to destroy the state the Jews had created for themselves in their ancient homeland. Later on, the propagandistic invention of a Palestinian people was meant to and did plagiarize and pervert the narrative, reversing the narrative so that it's now the Jews, not the Arabs, who are the ones refusing to recognize the right of the ancient Palestinians to have a state in their ancient homeland. Read my book and see how this verbal juggling came about. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
So, first of all, that lovely music before the break by Hillel was a verse from Psalm 122 and another verse from Psalm 137, the famous, If I Forget Thee, O Jerusalem. So to pick up where we left off, one continues in our time to refer and use the word anti-Semitism, when in fact, the original, authentic anti-Semitism is no longer around, it's no longer acceptable. This crackpot pseudoscientific rebranding of Jews as a race, because we were scattered to the four corners of the earth and accepted converts, we are arguably the most racially mixed nation in the world, which is why today's demented Jew haters like a David Irving or a Jeremy Corbyn or a Mahmoud Abbas call Zionism a form of racism. As Nazism claimed to be the master race, superior to the chosen people, so the state of Israel, created over the last 150 years by Jews who arrived from over 100 countries, Israel must be seen by world anti-Jewry as the epitome of racism. It's just the opposite. As Nazism, led by Hitler, was the opposite of Jewishness, led by Abraham and Moses. So today, there is no real, authentic, original anti-Semitism. The term has changed and become a camouflage word for Jew hatred in general. What began as Judenhass in German, Jew hatred, before they invented the term antisemitismus. And the leading Jew-hating nation today is no longer Germany with its national socialist ideology. Today, the leading Jew-hating ideology is called Islam, which, like Nazism, which, like communism, is a totalitarian ideology, like them, an ideology aspiring to world conquest. And it's no coincidence that all three of these ideologies in their black hearts single out the Jews for a special hatred, because we are the opposite of totalitarians. Our National Independence Day Passover commemorates the greatest slave revolt in history. So the leftists, the socialists, the Nazis, who were socialists, communists, also socialists, and Muslims, they all hate the Jewish state. And because Israel has a friend among the nations, if only one, the United States of America, Islam, Muslims hate the United States too. God may have done the U.S. a favor, though, by exposing the country to Islam via the 8 Obama years. For sure, like a Muslim, 8 years in office, he never stopped lying and dissembling. Obviously hostile to the world's only Jewish state, this anti-Semite Obama was also an enemy of the American way, which includes a unique friendship with the state of Israel. Obama was not president of the United States more than 10 minutes into his inaugural address in 2009 when he slapped the Jews in the face, but did it so subtly, if you noticed. Even though he claimed himself to be a Christian, having been converted, baptized by that Louis Farrakhan clone, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, he did not in his speech refer to the U.S. using the common expression, a Judeo-Christian culture. He called it a Christian and Muslim and Jewish and Hindu culture, thus displacing the Jews from their traditional places, the second influential religion in America, with Islam taking the Jews' place. And now the U.S. Will learn more of Islam by the two new Muslims in the House of Representatives, both of them on record demonizing the Jews, which is basic to Islam. The Quran calls the Jews a believer's public enemy number one, more even than Christian priests, as the verse says. As many other verses also snarl hatred at Jews. Of course, Islam hates Jews. For every one of its ideas, every one of its stories, most of them were stolen from the Torah, with the Quran claiming the Jews stole the Quran. And never mind that the Torah was written down 2,000 years before Muhammad was born. So Muslims deal with that by claiming that Musa, that's how they mispronounce Moses' name, say he brought down from Mount Sinai not the Torah, but the Quran. And then the Jews rewrote it and call it their Torah. And it was Muhammad who 2,000 years restored the original version. So beyond the dissembling by Obama, this covert de facto, if not de jure, Muslim Brotherhood agent in the White House for 8 years, we now have these two Muslim delusionists in the U.S. Congress. The one from Michigan, Rashida Tlaib, showed up for her first day in what she called a, quote, traditional Palestinian garment dress. And there's no truth to that expression, traditionally Palestinian, because there is no Palestinian tradition of anything. Think of the American bakers who have been abused by sodomite couples who demand the bakers play a role in celebrating their perversion with a wedding cake. And so this Arab woman walks into Congress and wants people to participate in the fantasy that she is a Palestinian and she's wearing a traditionally Palestinian garment when there are no Palestinians. Never were. No tradition of anything. A tradition implies history. And there's no Palestinian history of anything. The first page of my book contains a link to a news story in 2016 about the opening of the National Museum of Palestine in Ramallah, when on opening day, ribbon-cutting day, the entire museum, every room, corridor, gallery, was perfectly empty of even one artifact of Palestinian culture. And when a journalist asked the director, where were the exhibits, he said they were still being made in another country and had not yet arrived. And even if this were a traditional Palestinian garment that she wore, this still would not be probative of a national identity. And the Celts, if I'm not mistaken, wore different kilts as Native Americans, wore different feathers in their headdress or whatever, which is why they lost to the Americans. There were many, many tribes. They never could unite and function as a nation to resist the newborn American nation. And that's just for starters with this Muslim woman who was in the news yesterday, not for her Palestinian, traditionally Palestinian dress, but her filthy mouth. In truth and in fairness to her, Donald Trump has a record of filthy words too. His turning, for example, recently Congressman Adam Schiff's last name into Adam S-C-H-I-T-T, I thought was not even adolescent on his part, but downright juvenile. I myself heard him use the very same word that woman used yesterday, some years back, after addressing the National Conference of Republican Women of all people. So her supporters are right when they say Trump has been just as vulgar. Still, Donald Trump is not only Donald Trump, the individual man, but the representative of the American people, and as such, the problem with anti-Trumpers like her is that they also are very much opposed to their fellow Americans who voted for him, and not for St. Hillary, the feminist champion and accomplice to a serial rapist. People, you know, who are deplorable people who didn't vote for her. And for that alone, this sub-civilized representative of Palestine, now in the United States Congress, had no license to insult the President of the United States of America as she did. This self-described and self-advertised Palestinian representative, not of the congressional district that elected her, she's functionally another enemy agent of the United States, no less than Barack Obama. And that is the significance of her wearing that garment. And all of this should be a warning to Americans of what is in store for the country as the Muslim population grows.
Amigna. Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
We live in the age of information, but not inspiration. If you're like me, you're looking to be inspired, to reach higher, to connect more, and to grow. Well, if you want to get warm, you need to stand close to the fire. And if you want to catch fire, you need to stand close enough to get hit by the sparks. Join me, Penina Taylor, as we walk with people who have embarked on a spiritual journey towards Torah. We'll uncover what started them on their journey and what truths they discovered along the way. So prepare to be inspired as we take a leap of faith every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Israel News Talk Radio.
Recently, the enlightened in Israel pronounced Yair, the son of the prime minister, as not woke, free translation, for saying he wished all the Muslims in Israel would leave, which criticism of him I cannot accept, because he's a human being and the facts are plain that Muslims are our mortal enemies here, and wouldn't it be nice if all of them left? Once a year, yours truly goes on hiatus and takes a break to visit friends in the States, and one of the pleasures being there is not to have to carry a weapon on me, which is I do here, and it's constantly pulling my pants down. I don't like it. It weighs so much. It's a terrible inconvenience. I hate it that these Muslims make you wear this gun. These Muslims who surround us are a violent people, and not only toward us, but among themselves constantly. Somewhere in the Muslim world, at all times, they're killing each other. We are, of course, as Jews, concerned, like any nation, with our own people above all others. And these Muslims in our country are not Jews, and I have no shame in saying I don't like the culture this religion produces. The lunacy of the multi-culti leftists in our degenerate generation is that they say all cultures are of equal worth and stature, when they're not. As all athletes are not of equal prowess, people love sports and games and watching award shows. They like to see victory on the athletic field, meaning one player, one team, that is better than all the others. We applaud the gold medal winners at the Olympics. So why not in the family of nations can we not see and accept that some are nations that are better than others and some are of the lowest of the low, Arab and Muslim countries among them? This Rashida Tlaib, it does not belong in the United States of America, let alone the House of Representatives. And not because she insulted the president with that word, but because she sees herself as a representative of a people and a culture that is not America, a very different culture from American culture. America simply cannot be all things to all people. The very word definition has in its middle the word fin, fin in French, or fin in Spanish, meaning end. To define something is to outline its boundaries. And among the boundaries of American culture has been the mutual respect different sections of the society express in an agreement that whoever is president deserves respect, even if he's not the one you voted for. This Arab Muslim from Michigan has no understanding of this, though in fairness, she's just another Hillaryite. They all are sore losers after 2016 who have never accepted their loss. They're like children having a temper tantrum, demanding something like a piece of candy and not getting it, and throwing themselves on the floor and screaming. Already in the 1970s, some of America's best social critics, like the novelist Tom Wolfe and Christopher Lash, saw the culture of narcissism blooming. And that word narcissism in shirt-sleeve English might sometimes be understood as selfishness, self-centeredness. This Arab Muslim does not belong in Congress because she sees as her prime identity Palestinian, not American. I hope somebody in the Congress chastises her, not for her filthy mouth, but wearing that dress to make that statement. The Democrats and their backers are in the business of doing this every day, being selfish, refusing even to be patriotic. And no better example of that can exist than their opposition to a wall on the Mexican border. All their leaders previously voted for it, so their opposition today can only be motivated by their opposition to Donald Trump, in a resistance, as they like to call it, more important than protecting their fellow Americans. What Trump might do is declare his readiness to pay the legal fees of any American harmed in a crime committed by an illegal alien who entered the country after his inauguration, a victim who wants to sue, who might sue Schumer and Pelosi as accessories to the crime. Their bitterness at losing to Trump has completely extinguished any sense of concern for their fellow Americans. They voted for a wall in the past, so their opposition is clearly driven by something else, besides the innate merits of the wall or no wall or the project or the fence. What does it matter? And in that, they join Obama in being hostile to this country, as this delusional Arab woman claims to be a Palestinian when there's nothing Palestinian about her. What the U.S. needs to do is outlaw Islam and cut off immigration from all Muslim countries. No good can come from hiding one's head in the sand of political correctness in fear of being called an Islamophobe, which is another Orwellian deceiver of a word. Fear of Islam is not a phobia. Phobia means baseless fear. And anyone who uses this word in all seriousness today is lying, which is so prevalent in Islam. This business of denying reality is so taqiyya, dissembling, like telling potential voters you are against BDS, then the day after the election, you shamelessly change your opinion, which the other Muslim woman in Congress did. The problem with these Ishmaelites, who began as desert highwaymen, marauders, rootless nomadic brigands, is their appetite for the wealth of others, unbridled by any sense of conscience when it comes to the crime of theft. That is what the lifestyle of Bedouins has been. Raids and counter-raids between tribes, in addition to preying on innocent passers-by. This is the divine genius found in the Torah, describing Ishmael as a wild ass of a man, a wild creature who lives in a wilderness, same word, uncivilized, meaning unsettled, meaning nomadic. And as an uncivilized nomadic person, he is also a cruel barbarian. Islam is a polygamous culture, and for that reason alone, it must be declared in American law a criminal association. I imagine polygamy is illegal in every state in the Union, and for that, Islam does not belong in the Union. If I were living in the States instead of Israel, I would volunteer to work for such legislation. There are now more than 3,000 mosques in the United States, and I think concerned citizens in every jurisdiction where there is a mosque should alert the police that each one is promoting polygamy, which is illegal, and should be served with an order to shut down, like a crack house or a house of ill repute. By court order, these mosques should be padlocked. In Belgium, it's now a crime for Jews to butcher meat, as we have for thousands of years, thanks to new legislation drafted by arrogant Jew haters who think they have something to teach us about cruelty to animals and really hope to drive us from that country via this anti-Semitic legislation, disguised as protection for animals from the barbaric Jews. I'm confident, unfortunately, anti-Jewism will be with us until Moshiach, the Messiah, arrives. Okay, that's it for today, and if you appreciate this podcast, one way to say thanks is to buy Phantom Nation, which some have said must be read by every Jewish university student in the English-speaking countries. That will immunize him and her from the poison of Palestinian nationalism that has taken the place of anti-Semitism, place of the Christian deicide charge. The book is available online at geffenpublishing.com, also on amazon.com in hardcover or a Kindle ebook. This week's music was provided by Hillel and Yehuda Glantz, and the theme music by Hilik Frank and Carmina Orr, and as always, we conclude with Yosef Karduner. Until next time, I'm Shai Bentekoa. Taiti kese oved kese oved bakesh avdecha ki mitzvotecha lo shachachti.
בקש עבדך כי מצוותך לא שכחתי טעיתי כשה עובד טעיתי כשה עובד טעיתי אוי טעיתי כשה עובד בקש עבדך כי מצוותך לא שכחתי בקש עבדך כי מצוותך לא שכחתי
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom! Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.